welcome to Turn the Page, the official podcast of the Syosset Public Library.
Welcome to Turn the Page from the Syosset Public Library. This is Evelyn.
And this is Jessica.
And we're speaking with Claire Pooley, who wrote The Authenticity Project, which was a very, very interesting premise. I'm really enjoying it. I'd like to know, Claire, what inspired you to write this Authenticity Project book?
Well, actually, it was my own life that was the main inspiration, because my life 5 years ago, if you looked at my Instagram page or my Facebook page, looked like it was pretty perfect. But actually, the reality was it was very far from ideal. I was horribly addicted to alcohol, and it was affecting my mental health and my physical health and my whole life, really. And I decided that in order to help me quit, I would start telling the truth about my life, not in a notebook like my characters do in this book, but in a blog. So I started writing a blog, which I called Mummy Was a Secret Drinker.
Oh, boy.
And and I told the truth about my life. And doing that changed my life. And it changed the lives of thousands and thousands of people around the world who read it. And that made me think, what would happen if we were all more authentic about what was going on in our lives?
That's actually quite amazing. You probably have a base already who followed you on your blog, ready to read this book and see how it hashes out in a fictional setting.
Yes, I hope so. And actually, one of the characters in the book is an addict. So you know, trying to get sober. So he very much mirrors my experience, although he's very different in many ways as well.
That was Hazard, correct?
Yes, that's right. Yes, Hazard, the addict.
Yeah, I happen to like all the characters. I think they're great. I feel bad for the mom, for Alice. I understand what she's going through.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah, did you take her character from things that really happened to you?
Yes. In fact, you know, I share experiences with all of them in different ways. But, you know, Alice is a young mum, and so she just had a baby, and she's struggling. And, you know, and I think many of us find, you know, motherhood very, very hard. And yet, you know, we find it difficult to talk about, because we feel like we should be so, you know, so immensely happy, and we're so grateful for our gorgeous babies, but it's not easy. And Alice is really struggling. And she also, you know, she's an Instagrammer, so she portrays this perfect life online, and the reality is very different. And again, I think that's something that many of us do. You know, we're just with the life we show to other people is not really the life we're living.
Right. And the settings in the book, are they real or are they fictional?
Yeah, it's all set around my hood, actually. So it's all set around my area of London. A part of the book travels around London, but it also goes to Thailand,
right?
A little island, which is very much based on an island that I spent some time on back in 1987. So yes, they are. And the place where Julian, the artist, lives, this gorgeous little artist studio, that's also a real place.
Are they trying to take it away and build around it?
I hope not. Okay. I hope not. As far as I know, they're not. But it is, as described, it is right in next to a big football stadium. Oh. And Chelsea football stadium, actually. And so one day they may well end up in the same position that Julian finds himself, where they're threatening to tear his house down.
Is Julian based on anybody you know?
No, Julian is, I wish I did know somebody like Julian, because I think he's marvelous. But he was inspired by that place, because I would take the bus down the road and sit on the top deck, and I'd look over the wall at these little artist studios that were built in the 1930s. And they still remain exactly the same, where the whole of London has sort of changed around them. And I used to think, I wonder what would happen if somebody, you know, had been living there since the 1960s and they were just the same and everything around them had moved. And that was the inspiration for Julian.
I think the thing about Julian that I thought was really cool was that when you were reading him and, you know, just like his, he was like in this little time capsule, he felt very real, you know, like someone that would have existed as he did. And I thought that was a really cool part of the story.
Oh, I'm glad you thought so. Yeah, I mean, he became very real in my head.
You know? Like when Monica was looking him up on Wikipedia, I'm like, oh man, is this somebody I should be looking up as well?
Yeah, no, I mean, as I said, he did feel very real to me. And I love the idea that, you know, that in the old days he would hang out with Lucian Freud and that he was a bit of a roué out on the town. But, you know, and he picks up on lots of stories that were sort of happening at the time. So, you know, so Julian says he used to hang out with the Rolling Stones and and David Bailey and, you know, lots of the 60s icons.
Yeah, I really liked Monica's character a lot.
Yes. Monica is you know, she tries so hard to be, you know, to do everything properly. And I think what's lovely is watching Monica sort of learn to live a little and let go a bit, which right. I think we all need to do a bit more of.
Yeah. And then the romance was nice also.
Oh, well, I think everybody needs a little bit of romance in their lives.
Right. Absolutely. It really makes for a much better book. I like the romance part of it. Has this book come out in London also already?
Not yet. No, it comes out at the beginning of April. But but yes, it's had a number of sort of early reviews from people who've been given proofs. So yes.
And this is your debut novel?
Yes, it is. Yes, I wrote a memoir first. So so I wrote a book called The Sober Diaries, which was based on my blog and my experience of quitting drinking. This is my first fiction.
Wow, congratulations. I think it's a great start. Really great.
So, thank you so much. I'm so glad.
So how do you think that in general, like, you know, you talk a lot about like social media and authenticity. How do you think the best way would be for people to, I guess, promote their most authentic lives? Do you think social media could be very powerful for that? I mean, I know you found that in your personal life.
Yes, I think you know, it's very scary, the idea of showing or sharing the truth about your life online or in real life. But once you do it, once you take the step, you realize that actually when you make yourself vulnerable, people are really kind, and it makes a big difference to other people's lives as well, because if you admit the things you're struggling with, you find other people feel better about the things they're struggling with. So it has a fabulous sort of cumulative effect. And yeah, I think if we could all just think a little bit more about the way we're portraying our lives to people and just open up a bit more about the reality, it would help us and everybody else.
Do you think everybody, like every big city, should start their own authenticity project? Start sending around the notebooks and see where they wind up and what friendships they could start?
Yeah, I think it'd be great if we did. I mean, what's lovely is I'm already having messages from people saying that reading the Authenticity Project inspired them to reach out to friends they'd lost contact with,
great.
Or to think a bit more about what they were putting online, or to go and visit their neighbor, you know, all sorts of things. So, you know, so it's a fun, uplifting book, but hopefully it's also a book that gets people thinking a bit more about how they live their lives.
That's great. Are you going to be doing a book tour?
I do hope so. I do hope so. I'd love to get over to the US.
Oh, we'd love to have you here.
thank you so much.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that this book is going to be very well received by people across the pond, as they say, you know, on both sides of the pond. I know Evelyn is one of our best readers advisory librarians,
and I'll
here.
Be recommending this to plenty of people who are looking for nice, uplifting stories. So
thank you.
So would you like to tell us a little bit, just really quickly? I know we don't have a lot of time, but a little bit about some of the other characters in the story, like who you liked, you know, what they sort of represented.
So Monica is they are cafe owner who, as I said, is a bit she's a bit uptight. She wants, you know, what she struggles with is the fact that, as I think many women do, is the fact that she's a feminist. She believes she wants that she doesn't think she needs a man. She wants she wants to be independent, and she's a business owner. But, you know, she's lonely. She wants a partner. She wants to fall in love. And, you know, and I think that's a real struggle for women these days. You know, on the one hand, you want to, you know, you want to feel like, you know, you can, you know, you don't need a man. On the other hand, we all want some love in our lives.
Absolutely.
So that's Monica. And then Hazard is our addict, mm-hmm. who is struggling to get sober. And, you know, what he finds difficult is, you know, he's also sort of lonely in a different way, in
absolutely.
That, you know, he's had to ditch all his old friends and contacts because, you know, it's too dangerous for him to see them right now. So he's having to build a whole new life for himself. And then Alice, we've already talked about, the new mum who's struggling with a baby. And Julian, the artist, who is, who after his wife died, just became very isolated and cut off from life. So those are the four main characters, mm-hmm. and they're all struggling with something. And
I love the grandmother.
Who
owns the Chinese restaurant. You make the food.
Mrs. Fu.
You make the food sound so good.
I think there may be an uptick in wonton soup.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm not even a big Chinese food lover, but the food sounded great. It definitely made me want some of it. Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, good, good.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah, I think what's interesting about this group of characters is they range in age from 29 to 79,
okay.
And you know they're all different. They're different nationalities. They're different sexual orientation, and yet they all sort of, you know, they all meet each other and become this lovely little community.
Yes, it is very nice group of friends. Are you working on anything else right now?
Yes, I've nearly finished the.
Oh, wow.
I've nearly finished my second novel. Oh, well, actually, when I say I've nearly finished the first draft.
Okay.
but there's
process.
A long way to go before I would show it to anyone. So. Yes.
And where does it take place? Also in London?
All over. Actually, there's a number of scenes in the US. So it's based in London, New York, San Francisco, and the south of France.
Have you been over here? Have you been across the pond?
I have been in the past. I haven't been over for a while, but I'm hoping to come over again very soon.
Okay, great.
Well, we welcome you by book first, and then hopefully by your presence soon.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much. And do you have any other questions? All right. Go ahead.
No, I'd love chatting to you guys. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I love your accent.
And I love yours.
Oh, oh, thank you. So we are going to close this chapter of Turn the Page.
It's time to close this chapter of Turn the Page. Join us for the next episode.